This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Say yes to Pure Leaf tea and free gas for a year only at True North convenience stores. When it comes to quality, say yes to the delicious taste of real brewed Pure Leaf tea. True North stores are stocked with your favorite flavors like unsweetened, extra sweet, and raspberry. For a limited time, enter for a chance to win free gas for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or download the mobile app from the Apple or Google Play stores. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
And find the time to explore the mind of a stripper.
Then you can find the time to spend with your actual family.
Prime Time with Isaac and Sue.
Damn! What they on? All steroids and no carbs? They're the thick-ass kids.
This is Prime Time.
We're not like you. We're grown ups.
Your source for the best in local, regional, and national sports. Here are Isaac Ropp and Jason Sakanik with Primetime on 1080 The Fan.
Hey, what it do?
Ahoy.
What's up?
Feeling a little sympathy right now.
Why, thank you.
Not for you, although nice jacket.
Oh, thanks.
Yeah.
Abandoned Dunes jacket.
It's a nice look.
Honor of, what's our producer's name?
Ryan Buckley.
Because he's never here.
That son of a bitch.
He's there right now.
Yeah. Buckley over here on his producer salary goes to Hawaii for like 10 days and then is back for a day and then leaves to Bandit.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And he texted me pictures earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to know the weather?
Is it like 65 and sunny?
It's like 60 and sunny.
Oh, for God's sakes.
Yeah.
How do I get that producer gig? I thought
just
I
apply for it.
I thought I was happy over here, but it turns out where you want to be is over in that chair. No, the great Joe Fisher came in, and I hate to report this.
Yeah.
Because if you've ever had this happen,
it's very sad.
It is a sad, tragic day. Joe Fisher,
whoa,
he lost a pen.
He did,
and not just any pen. He said one of his favorite pens.
Yeah.
And that is an underappreciated loss because, like, when you
it makes me sad.
Yeah, when you lose, you know, like if you, let's say sunglasses, right? If you had a nice pair of sunglasses, people sympathize with that. Oh man, it's expensive sunglasses. But like no one ever gives any credence to you losing a pen. But when it's a good pen, especially if it's one that you encountered, you're not really sure where you got the pen, but you love it, you found it. You can't just necessarily go and replicate that pen. That pen was yours. And now it's gone forever because you're not getting it back. No one knows. I mean, someone probably absconded with it, but I feel for him because that there's something about a good pen that just kind of makes your day.
As you know, I'm a big pen guy.
Yeah.
And you're right. When you lose a pen, it hurts.
Yeah.
I don't know what he's going to do, but.
And no one gives you any sympathy. Like I said, sunglasses or like if you lost a face, like if you lost that jacket, you're like, oh man, anyone see my Bandon's Dune jacket? And you'd be like, no. And then there would be, everyone would be like, oh man, that sucks. You know, what a bummer. But the pen, people just dismiss the pen as if it's nothing. And that's.
Because not everybody's a pen guy.
I know.
But
I don't like how cavalier we are about losing pens.
And well, pens.
And I want Joe Fisher to know, I sympathize with your pen loss.
Do you buy nice pens?
Not really.
Okay.
No.
Because I have before.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean nice. Like some people go hundreds of dollars for their pens.
Yeah.
I'm not talking about that.
No.
I'm just talking about.
Yeah. Like maybe a $10 to $15 pen.
Yeah. Or even $20.
Okay.
Ooh. Ooh. You know.
Ooh. That's usually. Now, I will say that I think I've bought a 2-pack for maybe like $15, a nicer pen, but I don't think I've ever bought a high-end pen.
Yeah. super high-end pen, I've never tried, but...
I bought one as a gift, though.
I have purchased some pens because I wanted upscale pens.
Yeah.
Because I like that. I like the feel of them.
Absolutely.
I like the way they write.
If I had more of a writing situation going in my life, I think I would have a nice pen.
They crap out more than, like, probably faster than you would expect.
They just run out of ink?
Yeah, they're just not that. They just look not. So maybe my problem is I'm sort of a middle management pen guy.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not upper management with my pens.
Sure.
I'm middle management with my pens. Yeah. And that's no good.
You're buying like a Honda Accord.
You might as well just have a Bic.
Yeah. So you're not buying like the Hyundai.
Yeah. I think
but
that's
you're
right.
buying the Accord.
It looks nice.
But then you're not buying like the Audi or like the Beamer. Well, you're in that middle range.
The car looks nice.
Yeah.
It looks like a hot rod, but it's got a crappy engine.
Understand.
So I don't know what to do, but I do feel for Joe in the event that I didn't steal his pen.
Yeah.
I hope he finds it.
But if it's a nice pen, there is a chance that someone, like, because he said he left it in here yesterday doing the hot corner.
Yeah.
If you sit down and there's a pen and you start writing with it and it's a nice pen, you know where that's going.
Well, yeah.
It's going in your pocket. You're like,
I bet you Danny has it.
Well, there's a chance. If it's a nice pen, haven't we all done this at the restaurant? You go to sign the check and you're like, oh, what's happening here? This is nice. And whether it's from the restaurant or maybe it's someone that just brought their own pen, if that's a good pen that you enjoy writing, doesn't that pen go home with you? Maybe you tip a few extra bucks and you're like, this one's coming home with me. A nice bank pen. You know, there's a reason why they used to bolt those things down to the table.
You know those great pens? The Win.
The Win?
I steal them all the time and I don't feel bad about it.
Yeah.
Because I give them plenty of my money.
Exactly.
So I'm like, I'm taking this damn pen.
It's the price of doing business and I bet you really enjoy that.
Yeah, well, actually one is here. We have the Casaplaya pen here.
Yeah.
Yeah?
It's nice.
Nice little pen.
I once did a speaking engagement at a Lions Club event, and they I did it as a favor. A guy I knew was like, hey, would you be willing to come speak at our whatever? I was like, yeah, that's fine, no big deal. Like the guy taught me how to play racquetball, and their reward for me was a nice pen. And some people may scoff at that, but I'll tell you what, it was a nice wooden pen. And it was great. And I held on to that thing for like a year. And then I don't know what happened to it. Probably left it somewhere. And someone was like, hey, this is a nice pen. But to the Lions Club of Vancouver, whatever chapter you were, just know that you handing out those pens to people that are coming and speaking, maybe not everyone, I appreciated that pen. I wish I knew what kind of pen it was. I would have been happy to go out and purchase another one. It was great. It's nice, like a nice walnut on there. It's fantastic. A
couple of pen takes on the text line here.
Yeah.
From the fans. Hot take. There's no direct correlation between price of pens and goodness of said pens.
See, that I don't know.
That's what I was saying.
I don't know.
But I don't know about the $100 pens.
Because
but.
I've never... I bought a friend of mine who's kind of a fancy lad. And for his birthday, I bought him a Tiffany pen. Because, you know, it's like, what do you get a guy that has a lot of things? But he writes a lot. And so I got him a nice pen. And I've never asked him. Is it inappropriate for me to ask how nice is the... Because that's the nicest pen I've ever purchased. I've never come close to it for myself.
I don't think it's inappropriate.
Is it rude if I'm like, doesn't have the pen anymore?
Well, you may not get an answer.
I know.
But you say, hey, tell me about this pen.
I don't want to...
And he could volunteer the... Are you talking about price?
It was a pricey pen.
Yeah.
But I feel a little awkward asking. It's been several years... Maybe that pen's gone. Maybe he, you know, again, pens are easily lost. I've never brought it up again. I did see it once in his house, and that made me feel good that he still had it. But again, many years ago, couldn't tell you if that if there's any correlation. So wouldn't you have to have bought the $100 plus pen to then know if there's a correlation?
Yeah, exactly.
And
now here's a guy who says he's a pen snob himself, and he is a nice handwriting believer.
Yeah,
as am I.
Yeah,
and he says a real pen matters. A lot.
Mm.
So,
well, and then there's
define
those,
real pen.
And then there's always those cool pens that you can refill the ink. Those are always badass, but that's a whole other category that I can't get into.
Yeah, hotel pens, depending on what hotel.
It's got to be a nice hotel, though.
Yeah.
You know, I'll tell you right now that like the The Wynn pen, I promise you, is better than
Each pen is different. Like, the Wynn Hotel has a pen, but each restaurant you go to has a different pen.
Interesting.
Which I find freaking fantastic.
I know specifically the pen I like. I'm going to have to look it up. There is a pen that when I see it, and it's not a high-end pen, but my daughter uses them, and she buys them. I want to say, let me look this up, and it's for a mid-price pen. I'm a big fan, and I know it when I see it, and I'm like, yeah, I like what we got going on here. I got to see if I can find it. Yes, the Pilot G2. That is
somebody just texted that in.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, G2 gel.
Yeah. The Pilot G2 Hot Premium Gel Roller Pen.
Pilot G2.
That's a quality. Now, you may be laughing at me. Super Pen Guy is probably mocking me, but those
are the Super Pen Guy is going to laugh at that.
But
I agree that for a basic pen,
yeah,
that's solid.
If I see that pen, I know that I'm getting some good writing out of it.
Well, and it feels good.
Yes.
And it's got the little hook. You can hook it on your...
Smooth. I like that.
Yeah.
That's because my daughter is
G2 gels.
My daughter is a huge, she's a nerd, giant nerd. It's the one trying to be a doctor. She loves nothing more than taking notes and writing. So she's big into pens and notebooks. Like if you go somewhere and they have a spiral notebook that's nice with like quality paper, she gets all jazzed up and she uses the G2 Premium. So, I mean, she's a dumb kid, so she probably doesn't realize that that's an average pen, but she's a big fan of it. And therefore, I get to reap the benefits of those pens around the house.
All right, guys. Hot pen talk. Thank you.
There you go.
Thank you. There you go.
That's what said sporting hard this afternoon. Damn right, yeah.
Come for the sports. Stay for the pen talk. Yeah. Will Ortner is here. He's in place of Ryan Buckley, who's at band. And hi.
What's up?
How's your day?
I was just riveted with your hot pen talk.
Yeah, I saw you looking a little bored over there.
I'm not going to lie, I was a little bewildered, but you reeled me back in when you got to that Pilot pen.
Well,
right here, the Pilot G2 is the elite everyman's pen. A lot of G2 love coming in.
Well, they're all over the place.
Yeah.
You'll find them.
You'll find them.
And when you see one, you snake it.
Yeah.
Because it's not expensive enough to call that theft.
No,
it goes in the regular pen category of pens just sort of come and go.
Yeah, you don't have to buy them.
You don't.
It's like when you're Will's age, couches. You don't buy a couch. You just they're out there.
Does anybody have a pen?
Yeah.
Or like you're looking around the house for a pen, you'll find a pen.
Yeah.
I don't know where it came from, but it's there.
I don't know if I couldn't tell you last time I bought a pen. Couldn't tell you last time I bought nail clippers, but they're there. There's always a nail clipper.
See, I bought nail clippers.
Really?
Yeah, I usually buy them on vacation because I hate packing them.
No, they're just there.
Why would I hate packing them? They're tiny.
I don't know.
But I hate it.
Seems like an odd thing.
So then I'm like, I'll just get some there if I need them.
There are several things that I don't know how they end up at my house or in my possession, but they do.
Hammers?
Nope. Yeah.
I have a million hammers.
And you never bought one?
Where did they come from?
Yeah. You just acquire them.
Weird.
Yeah. Certain things.
Well, Will, I'm glad we got you back. I think when you get to be an old... You'll understand the importance of a good pen.
If we still use them at that point.
Yeah, that's fair. The kids, they don't like to write.
No.
Unless it's your kid.
Yeah. My kid actually has now...
Will's not a calligrapher.
She has a...
Not anymore.
She has a... I don't know what the hell you call it. A Remarkable? Have you seen these?
A Remarkable?
It's called Remarkable, and it's a tablet that you write on.
Oh, yeah.
And take notes, and then it you hit a button and it digitizes it.
Yep.
So it costs a lot of money. We had to buy one a couple years for her. I don't know why, but she loves it. She's just all about taking notes. And occasionally when you come home, she's like, Dad, come look at this. And she just wants me to look at the note she took like in biology and how clean and cool they look. And then I have to be like, wow, awesome notes. And then that's like the end.
Like that though. I get where she's coming from.
Yeah.
I often look at things I write. I'm like, it's got to look nice.
Yes.
This is why I'm a lefty. Yeah. I write lefty. Yeah. But I taught myself to write righty because I hated so much. This is how stupid I am. I hated how my writing looked left-handed. Lefties can't write.
No.
We're terrible at it. So I just taught myself right-handed, and it looks way cooler. So when I fill out, like the other day I was filling out an envelope to mail. Like, that can't be sloppy. That has to look nice. Yeah. It has to be legible.
Yes.
So, and it has to be straight. Mm-hmm. And so I wrote it right-handed. Yeah. And it takes me twice as long.
It still looks good.
And
though.
My hand hurts after I do it. Probably giving myself carpal tunnel. But it looks way better.
My daughter takes a lot of pride in the way the notes look.
And as someone should.
As someone points out, Will's favorite pen is the Air Pen. And I have used the Air Pen many times.
What's the Air Pen?
When you tell someone that you're taking a note and you don't really take a note, but you pretend to write it down. Remember back in the day when...
Oh, like, no, yeah. I don't even pretend. Dude.
You don't even pretend?
Yeah, no, why would I pretend?
To, yeah, you don't have to pretend.
I pretend. No. Like, if someone calls me and is like, hey, can I leave you a message or whatever, I instantly go to the fake Air Pen where I'm like, all right, and then I pretend to write it down, and I'm not writing it down. But there is something great about using the Air Pen. Do it all the time. And just know that if I tell you that I'm writing something down and then you repeat it back to the person to let them know, yes, indeed, I'm trying to remember this, I'm not writing it down. Hold on, let me grab a pen real quick. That's just the old Air Pen.
Right. Okay, go ahead. I got one now.
Yeah, I got one.
642. Yeah.
642. Uh-huh. And then you have to pretend to write 642. Dude, the Air Pen is a...
That's too much work.
I text myself a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll just pull out my phone. Instead of a pen, I'm like, okay, what's the number? And then I just text it to my number.
It's not a bad idea.
Yeah. And then I forget what I did with it. I'm like, wait.
Why the hell is... Why do I have this
number? What is this? Oh. All right, guys, pens are great.
Yeah.
Rest in peace, Joe Fisher's pen. Sports? We're sorry. We're very sorry.
No, we feel pretty good.
Very sorry about the pen, bro. Yeah, we do. You know what? You know what? Last night was a pretty good night in the NBA.
Yeah.
Can you believe that?
60.
First time for everything.
I dropped a 60 burger on you.
61, actually.
Hmm.
We've got that. And Major League Baseball underboob is coming up on the notes here, I see.
We bumped it an entire show yesterday.
More has been added, including very controversial pants today.
Wow. I did see the pants.
Did you see those?
Yeah, but that's a football trend. The pants and the shorts, they're getting shorter and shorter.
It's the kids. We can't control the kids.
Yeah. I'm excited, though. We have more underboob than we did yesterday.
A lot of underboob
today. It's raised up a little bit.
That's right.
Yeah. So maybe they reached for a pen up on the shelf.
Mm, I see what you did there.
Yeah.
Well, I can't wait to talk sports with you because I love sports.
Let's do it.
We'll be right back. It's Isaac and Suk on The Fan.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi.
That's 50% stupid.
Robin Zook.
What's 50% stupid? What did
I don't know. I just wanted to play that. I like that clip.
Okay. I didn't really feel that was necessarily
Holiday Road.
But, you know, I don't know. Well, Holiday Road and then Leech. I was like, wait, are we leading into something? And
rest in peace.
I know. It's weird.
You know?
Yeah.
Well, my.
Every now and then it's you're like, oh, man, someone's
dead.
He's
gone.
John Prine gets me that way, too. Big John Prine guy. Yeah. And I kind of forget that he died during COVID. Val Kilmer, by the way.
Yeah.
Gone today.
We got a Val Kilmer segment coming up.
Well, he was dead, then he wasn't dead, and then it turns out he was indeed dead.
That damn Sister Jean just keeps outliving everybody.
I know.
She's still alive.
Yeah. It's like 1,000 years old, like Methuselah over there.
Yeah, we got a Val Kilmer segment coming up
later
in the show. R.I.P. VK.
Mm-hmm.
65. Gone too soon.
That is way too soon.
But he had the throat cancer.
Yeah, like an 11-year battle with throat cancer, too. I mean, my God. At some point, it's like, enough's enough. Maybe he's just happy to be done with it.
Well, we had a good night last night in the NBA for once.
Yeah, we did.
How about that?
Except your Blazers. I mean,
Well, they won.
That's a key.
Oh, wait. We want them to lose.
No, we want them to lose. Well, at this point, like, they're not making the play-in. And if you're not making the play-in, every one of these losses only hurts
your
chances.
Well, aren't they kind of set up to...
They're going
to
be the ninth, but...
Yeah.
You know,
I was reading today, the Blazers, this is just odds.
Mm-hmm.
To get a top four pick, they have a 4.5% to 6% chance.
Yeah.
So a 4.5% chance of the number one pick as they stand now, a 6% chance of the number four pick.
Yeah.
Then they would not even have odds for 5, 6, 7, 8. It would be 9 And right now, that would be 50% odds.
I think it's a 50% chance. If everything stays as it is now, and with that win last night, kind of cements you. I mean, I suppose you could catch Phoenix in wins, but you're going to have the 9th or 10th worst record. And that pretty much leaves you about 50% chance to just pick 9th and like a 35% chance to pick like 8th. And then there's a little bit of chance.
25.
25.
Actually, it's 26.
So, you know, chances are.
You said 8th? No, 10. I looked at it today. And it said that the best odds are at 50% number 9, mm-hmm. 26% number 10.
Number 10, okay.
And then a 4.5 to 6% chance of a top 4 pick.
Yeah. So, I mean, it's nice to see him winning games. And I know, again, we've talked about this till the cows come home, and I don't want to sit here and beat my head against the wall. This is like that year. Remember the Mariners won a meaningless game at the end of the year, and that cost them Steven Strasburg. And I know Strasburg ended up having injury problems, but you know who they ended up taking number 2? Dustin Ackley. And I'm sorry, I'll take Steven Strasburg over Dustin Ackley, but God forbid you lose that last game against the A's. So I'm all for letting these guys play. But at some point, and that point is right now, there's like, what, 6 or 7 games?
6.
And you're, 6 games, and you're 3 and 3.5 back of the play-in? It makes no sense for Denny to be out there playing 40 minutes. It just makes no damn sense.
They're going to get Connor Knipple.
Hot Knipple talk.
Have you watched him play yet? He's at Duke.
Duke. Yeah, he's the other Duke guy.
It's weird to think he's a freshman.
Yeah.
Because he plays like he's 35 years old. Like he looks like the old guy at the gym.
Well, the Blazers could do a lot worse than Knipple.
Really?
Oh, come on.
He's good.
Is that what... Are you serious?
No. We would think a lot more highly of him if he wasn't playing next to Cooper Flagg.
Are you really?
For the NBA, though? Like, I get it. He's good in college, but you think he's an NBA?
Wow.
I think he'll be fine. Better than Zach Collins?
He'll be fine. So you've set the bar at your
you
ankle.
You know what? You
the
know
hell?
What?
You've set the bar
what's
at
going
ankle
on?
Height.
Bro.
You guys aren't allowed to root for Con Knipple anymore. Con Knipple's mine. Get your own.
I don't
a
root 6'7"
slow-footed shooting guard slash mall forward.
Now that's he's awesome. Get your own.
That's what you're doing.
Get your own.
He's mine.
He is a good shooter, but there's a lot of guys that are good shooters.
Mm.
You know who don't work out in the NBA, right?
Well,
am I wrong about that? Or if you can shoot, you can shoot, and you're going to be in the NBA. You tell me. I don't know. I'm not an NBA expert.
Look.
But he can shoot. It's just weird that he's a freshman.
Yeah.
He doesn't look like
no,
a freshman.
No, and he has the hairline.
Yeah,
and,
he doesn't play like a freshman. It's just it's weird.
But, yeah, being compared to... Like,
and I can no longer root for him, according to Will.
Trying to find his like, comparison.
Who am
you
I
want to go
for?
With a...
I'm rooting for Clayton.
Bogdanovich or a Cam Johnson? Whoa, that's... That blows whatever hair I got back left. Woo, baby.
I'm rooting for Clayton. Are you talking about Final Four? Or any college? I mean, well, like, of course, my Kansas guys.
Yeah.
But in the Final Four, I'm rooting for Walter Clayton. Is that his name? Walter?
Junior.
No, I know, but Walter or
I
William?
I believe it is Walter.
Walter. Walt. I love Walt. And I love Uzan from Houston.
Hmm.
I like that guy.
Yeah.
Nice little player.
Well, I hate to do it because I have to root for Duke because I keep
it's a lot of information. So
I don't want to root for Duke, but
great little player.
I'm going to because at this point, I don't care about any of the teams, so I care about my wallet. So for the first time ever, go Duke.
So I have a future ticket on Houston.
Mm-hmm.
But I also have a future ticket on Florida.
Oh.
So I would like.
Yeah.
I don't need, but I would like for it to be Florida versus Houston. And you better believe that I have dreaded all week that it will be Auburn v. Duke.
Yeah. What would that, like, what is our financial, is this a
big win on Houston?
Okay.
A third of that on Florida.
All right. Well, you know.
So if I get both of them in the final.
Yeah.
I just let it ride. I'm good.
Yeah. If not, you maybe have to hedge a little
bit. If not, see, Duke... I ignored, at my own peril, mm-hmm. the stats regarding Duke to the finals, which I wrote it in my notes.
Tried to
you said,
you.
Ignore at your own peril
yeah.
the statistics regarding Duke
yes.
to the finals.
Yes.
Or the final.
They were overwhelming.
You said, ignore those stats at your own peril. You know what I did?
You did.
I ignored the stats at my own peril.
I don't know what to tell you. And now you're sitting there waiting on Houston and Florida.
Well, I can't really bet on Duke. They're too...
Yeah.
They're too chalky.
Yeah, it's
like
not a
I can't
at this
hedge
point.
At that.
Yeah.
So one of the reasons I took Houston all the way back in December, because I remember watching Houston lose to Duke in the tournament last year. Mm-hmm. And I thought, because they had, I think it was, I forget, the star player for Houston went down in that game. They got kind of unlucky. They almost beat him. And I thought, wow, that Houston team is gonna get revenge on Duke. Well, then Duke brings in Cooper Flagg.
Yeah.
And Cooper Flagg is like, ooh, didn't expect him to be that good. He's freaking awesome. But Houston has improved, and they are a very good shooting team.
But do they have Knipple?
They're much better now than they
were
last
player,
year.
Just saying.
So that's why I bet on Houston, and I bet on them to get to this game, and here they are against Duke. And yet now, because I had all the confidence in the world that Houston was going to beat Duke, that's why I bet on Houston. I now have no confidence that Houston will beat
Duke.
Do
you want your Duke hedge? Because sure. I have your idea.
Yeah, what's the idea?
So Cooper Flagg is plus 120 for the most outstanding player of the tournament. If okay. Duke wins,
yeah.
He's going to win that. So that
not necessarily.
Would
necessarily. They lose in the final, he doesn't win it.
Well, but that's your thing. If you think Duke's going to win, if you want to bet a future right now, they're not going to be plus money. That's your plus money bet.
I think any of the four could win the tournament. I really do.
Agreed.
This is a great Final Four. That said, Duke's the best team.
Yeah.
So it's like, I don't know. There's just nothing. There's nothing. All I got to do is root for Houston and Florida and just let the chips fall. Anyway, why are we talking about this?
We started talking about the Blazers, and the Blazers continue to win seemingly for no reason. And then,
hey, Clayton's a good undersized point guard for the Blazers.
And then ending up with Knipple, because that apparently is
Connor Knipple.
Because a slow-footed guy that can shoot the three ball who's white. Oh, my God, let's go
get
him.
But he's a freshman. Anyway.
With a Nate Biddle hairline.
Do they have him as a lottery guy? Knipple?
Yeah, they have him going to Portland if Portland's at 10.
Yeah, they do. Yeah, Knipple's right around that 8 to 12 range.
Oh, my God.
Better him than Liam McNeely. It's the same person.
Well, McNeely's got a lot more size, isn't he?
Yeah, but he's slower, believe it or not.
No way.
Less athletic.
Listen to you, Knipple. Lightning fast. I'm sorry.
Compared to others.
They listed him at like 6'6", 6'7". Wait till he goes to the NBA combine and find out he's 6'4".
Totally.
He's 6'4".
He doesn't look 6'7".
I can't believe that you're turning into the number one Con Knipple hater.
And then we're gonna do this. It's gonna be
ridiculous.
I can't wait for someone to tell me he's the next Luke Babbitt, best shooter in the draft. Are you kidding me?
Got his autograph somewhere too. Luke Babbitt.
We love these.
97 for 100 3-pointers.
You know what my favorite guy to bet on in the NBA draft is? The unathletic wing. God, the NBA is littered with unathletic wings. In today's positionless game, man, nothing hits better than that unathletic wing with slow feet. God, that's, how do we not draft him at that point?
Listen,
let's go.
I don't think there's anything that could get this town to riot over the Blazers, but you know what might do it? Connor Knipple as their draft pick.
It's Con.
Or Con, yeah.
I'm watching his highlight tape right now. You guys are idiots. He's amazing.
I do like watching him play.
I enjoy that you said that he could be better than Zach Collins. That's the bar that Will's setting.
Well, look.
Zach Collins.
He was a pillar of our team. What are you talking
baby
about?
Steps, baby steps. Baby steps.
Pillar of the organization.
Better than Myers Leonard. Better than Zach Collins. Rotational bench player.
I like where this is going. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, come on. If they draft Knipple, Blazers fans be like, what? Who? Another? What?
I'm ready to go. Let's do this. You know what? I'm coming on board. F it. Let's go. Starting the, what was the draft, the stash?
No, you're not allowed
ago?
To come aboard.
Adam Morrison?
No, we've kicked you off. You're not allowed on this train.
I'm going. Look, only one of us here bet on Duke at the beginning, so I'm team Knipple at this point.
No, I've banned you. You were banned earlier. You dumped on him too
much. Let's go, Knipple.
You got to get your own unathletic white guard.
All right, well, we'll wrap up last night in sports next, then we'll get to MLB Underboob. Here's Will.
Man.
Well, Con Knipple has taken over our program. We've both been feverishly Googling his outlook in the NBA,
Dusty,
as he will be a future Portland Trailblazer.
Yeah, on the Danny and Dusty show, they have dubbed it the Knipple Slip to Portland at number 10.
I love that. And Will's all about it.
I'm reading through a couple draft profiles of him.
As was I.
Because I just seen him in the, you know, in the tournament, and the guy can shoot, but this was my favorite one that I've seen. Because they always go through, the strength are simple. He can shoot the ball. It's a no doubt about it, he's a great spot up shooter. When you go through, they're kind of killing him, but trying to be nice about it. I like this one. He's just an okay finisher at the rim. Dunks are a good proxy for NBA athleticism. He's only attempted 5 dunks, and he's converted 2 of them all year. And they said these are extremely low and troubling numbers for an NBA guard wing of his size.
He's shooting 40% on dunks?
He's only attempted 5. And he's what
the
made,
how dare you attack the greatness that is Con
How's
Knipple?
That even possible?
There's a lot of missed dunks in college basketball.
So I see here the ceiling comp for Con Knipple is Desmond Bain and Malcolm Brogdon.
Pretty good.
According to one draft profile I'm looking at.
How is that? All right.
Well, he can shoot, and they say he's pretty efficient. He can make plays. He's a decent defender, and he can kind of make a layup, too.
There's another one. Certainly, his defense is going to be a problem. 0.2 blocks and less than 1 steal per game, are low, and another indicator of below-average athleticism. It does say, though, that people are split. NBA execs say that his defense is either somewhat adequate or a major concern. Because, I love this, that we've got a 6'6", slow-footed white guy that we're debating whether his athleticism is a major concern or somewhat adequate. And by the way, a player of his size that can't get to the rim and finish in college or create his own shot, I can't miss. Where do we sign up
for
this?
He can get his own shot in college.
No, he's
not just a spot-up shooter.
He is a spot-up shooter.
Well, I think they're projecting him as that in the NBA. He's not in college. Like he can put the ball on the floor and make plays in college, but he's not going to do that in the NBA.
You know, lack of athleticism also shows up in his ability to generate shots for himself. He struggles in that regard against collegiate competition. He certainly can score, though.
But we always talk about how there's a bunch of athletes, not basketball players.
Yeah.
Playing basketball, like in college and in the NBA,
Yeah.
So if we're saying, we hate those guys who are just athletes and they can't play basketball a lick, this guy's the opposite of that. You should love him. He doesn't have athleticism, but who cares?
Well, this is my problem, and I view this in the NBA, and I view it certainly because the NFL draft is coming up, too. Yes, when you have the ability to do something like shoot, and the guy can shoot, obviously, right? That sets you up where there is a place for you in the NBA. Put you in the corner, and we're going to throw you the ball, and you can catch and shoot. But and this goes back to so many players that are like this in college, and so many players in college football that are productive. You're like, what are you talking about? That guy was really productive. Yes, playing against non-NBA players, playing against non-NFL players. But there usually is a certain amount of athleticism that has to be there to be a legitimate player in the NBA. And if you can't defend and you get picked on and you can't create shots and you can't force anyone to be concerned about you getting off the dribble and all you do is end up being a one-dimensional player, there may be a place for you in the NBA, but does that move the needle at all for a team that is looking for actual difference makers? Because I've said this a million times about the Blazers. My God, their entire team is made up of solid guys.
How big was Joe Ingles?
Joe Ingles?
He's around the same size.
I think he's probably around that same sort of.
He's like that.
Yeah.
It's a similar comp.
But Ingles played.
Yes, but this
an NBA
is my.
Player.
This is my. I would much rather, and you can yell at me all you want because
I'm not going to yell.
No, but people do this because, like you said, we hate the raw athleticism guy, right? But my God, if I'm the Blazers and I'm sitting there drafting 9th or 10th, and my choice is a guy that probably projects out to be Joe Ingles. Or a guy that's the seventh man on my team, second guy off the bench, stand in the corner, hustle a little bit, and knock down some threes and average 8 points a night and 3 rebounds. Or take a flyer on a 19 or 20-year-old kid that jumps out of the gym and is oozing athleticism and may turn into something 3 years down the road. Give me that guy. Because guys like Joe Ingles are great if you're the Dolphin connect with the Lakers, right? And you've got a team that you think can actually do something and you have a couple stars. My God, the Blazers don't have a single guy that projects out to be a 1 or a 2. I think you got a couple guys that are solid 3s, maybe Denny in the right circumstances, but on contending teams, Denny Avia is your best player. He's not a 2. Go look through contenders. That guy is a solid 3. Maybe Tumani Kamara is like a 4. Shane Sharp and Scoot, you have so many of these guys that project out to be solid dudes. At some point, I'm tired of solid dudes. Swing on the guy. That say what you will about Shane Sharp, whether he develops or not, at least Shane Sharp might end up being a dude. There's some raw material there that if he ever puts it together and he lights a fire under his ass and, you know, and that you could see something happening there. I don't want a guy whose ceiling is 10 points a game. You're telling me we went through another effing tank to get a guy that can't really play defense, can't create his own shot, can't dunk in college basketball, and I'm expecting him to go
two dunks,
and I'm out of five, and I'm expecting him to come into the NBA.
You know, I'm tired of you yelling at me about this. You shut up, you killjoy. I'm with you. What's your name? Will.
I don't know.
Con Knipple.
You attacked Con Knipple. I don't know if I'm allowed. You might be on the caboose
okay,
right now.
Okay,
back
right.
off the.
You're right.
I was on the Knipple.
You
slip.
Definitely
I'm
were not.
Back off.
You were never allowed on.
Back off.
We banned you beforehand.
You know what another comp is?
What?
Why are you laughing?
They keep texting in on the text line that he has a hot mom.
Oh, he does? Oh,
apparently, cool. That's a big deal.
I'll tell you what, that may sway me a little bit.
No,
I do,
you're not allowed on.
Mrs. Knipple?
I do like when we see the hot mom at the draft.
You're not allowed on the train.
The other comp is Nick Stauskas, former Blazers great.
Why not?
You could always use another Nick Stauskas.
By the way, I'm... Yep. That's a...
It's up and good?
Yeah, that's... is it...
Con.
Chari? Shari? Maybe Shar?
Probably a Charlotte?
Yeah, but it's Shari. I mean, Chari.
I think that's probably Sherry.
Oh, yeah, you can go Sherry. I don't know why I didn't think about that. Yeah, it's... all right. Let's see. Hey, you know what, Mrs. Knipple? I was not familiar with your... game. But I am now. Although... One, she's a tall gal, and while I am impressed, she's got a little who's that badass crazy congresswoman from Georgia?
Marjorie Taylor Greene.
She's got a little.
She's got a little MGT.
She's got a little MGT.
She's got a little Marjorie. You can MTG. See it.
Look, I think we know where she voted.
Someone says on the text line that kid from Kentucky last year, Reed Shepard, was 10 times the player as Nip Slip, and he's in the G League.
Yeah, that's.
But then you've got this, a 6-foot white boy from West Lynn High School seems to be doing all right in the NBA that wasn't even supposed to be in the NBA, and a second-round draft pick is the best player in the league the last 5 years. You never know, bro.
And that's fine.
You just got broed.
Take him in the second round. Don't take him at number 10. Remember when we didn't want Bam Adebayo because he was raw, too, and we wanted the more complete player? How'd that work out? Just draft me athletes. I don't know if you've seen this, but in the NBA, have you watched a lot of the NBA? Because the good players tend to be really, 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 really good
athletes. Not all
athletes.
Of them. Not all.
Who's Luka, the best player in the
Luka,
league right now?
Yep. Jokic and Luka in your face.
So,
unathletic white dude.
That's 6'7", 270, yep. And a ballerina. That's not a good athlete?
I don't think he's athletic, no. He's not like, I mean, Travis Outlaw.
I love Travis
that's what
Outlaw.
That's what I think of athlete. And Luka, you know, he doesn't dunk, so therefore I think maybe, you know what? Listen, it's probably moot because Knipple will be gone before the Blazers pick anyway.
Not if we get the Knipple slip down to Portland.
The Knip slip.
The Knip slip. Let's do it.
The Knipple triple.
Yeah.
At the Rose Garden.
It's like when you draft a D-end in the NFL that's slow and doesn't have a good vert. Yeah, because those guys pan out all the time.
Well, you're an ass.
You're going to miss on the athlete.
Quite frankly... You've derailed our whole show now. Thanks a lot. What I wanted to tell you was that...
We still haven't gotten to the underboob.
No! Oh, the underboob's coming up. But we were going to talk about last night because Jokic scored 61.
Yeah, and
with
lost.
A triple-double. And lost. And the Bucks shot 68% and won.
Yeah.
And then the Warrior... And then we're getting all these... alerts that Steph Curry's like about to make history, and he doesn't. It was a wild night in the NBA last night.
And we had guns and...
Yeah, then you got Ja Morant doing finger guns.
We got to investigate.
You're not supposed to do that.
Especially when you have a history of pulling real guns.
I saw Shams this morning. Well, we got a break now. Okay.
All right. No more Knipple talk, damn
no,
it.
Yeah, forget him, but we'll wrap up last night in sports. Coming up next, and then we'll get to Underboob. Okay, on the fan. Text says only two people can derail multiple seggies. One has a toupee.
We're gonna battle.
Rick Riz, and one is going to need a toupee very soon. Connor Knipple. Or Con Knipple, sorry. Yeah. I have more Con Knipple for you.
Are we about to get derailed again?
I have to get this in. I have to. We buried the lead on Con Knipple.
Knipple could not be stopped.
First of all, his mom, Sherry.
Yeah.
She is the all-time leading scorer at Wisconsin Green Bay.
Oh. So. That's not where Doug Gottlieb is, right?
I think it is where he is. No, that's where he is, yeah. Yeah.
The illustrious program that is.
Well, I mean, I don't know. Ooh. She scored 1,964 points there, okay?
Oh. Wow.
And she's also the all-time leading rebounder there, so she could ball. Now, get this. Con Knipple's father is also named Con, so he is Con 2.
Mm. Did he also play?
Yes, he was a player.
Yeah, I think they both played at Wisconsin Green Bay. I'm seeing a photo of the mom and him from their collegiate days.
He is in the Wisconsin Lutheran College Hall of Fame.
Again, the prestigious.
Not the Wisconsin College Hall of Fame, the Wisconsin Lutheran College Hall of Fame.
I love this.
So, get this. There are 5 basketball-playing brothers
in the Knipple family. I see them.
Their names. Are you prepared for their names? Are you prepared for their names?
This is the whitest family of all time, so I'm guessing there's like a Malcolm and an Archer in here.
Con 2, Cager, Kinston, Cash, and Kid. And I'm not kidding.
The Flying Knipple brothers?
Dude, you got to draft him on that alone. Because what if Kid comes up and is better than Con? You got to have Kid and Con.
And there's a photo of them all wearing Crocs.
Hell yeah.
God bless the Knipple family.
Yeah. So I don't know how old the other brothers are, but Con 2's the oldest.
Yeah.
So watch out, bro. You could get a starting 5 of Knipples.
I wonder if, like, when they go play, like, rec league, if the brothers just go out there and just trash people, right? I mean,
you want to talk about pedigree.
You're just getting rolled up. And then, like, you add the Flag brothers, because there's at least one other Flag that's going to go play at Maine.
Yeah.
The Knipples and the Flags are going to unite for the most awkward, like, YWCA pickup game of all time, but that they go and dominate everyone by 80.
I hope the dad's a cool guy, but I'm guessing he's probably not.
Yeah.
You know? Like, if you got all the Knipples,
yeah.
Do you have to hire the dad as the coach? Is it only right?
It's a good question. I don't know. I don't know how all that works. Maybe the dad is a cool dude.
Mom is the coach?
Mom's kind of a hot.
You know, Cooper Flagg's mom was his AAU coach? Did you know that?
I didn't.
Yeah. Mm. His mom.
Well, again, keeping it in the family. Now, can I ask, was that because it was Cooper Flagg and Cooper Flagg wanted his mom to coach him?
Well, she balled. You know that about her. She was a baller, too.
Yeah. I'm just saying, like, if you're Cooper Flagg and you're on an AAU team, I'm guessing you get to pick the coach. It's like when Mario Chalmers' dad got a job at Kansas. Was Mario Chalmers' dad really a Kansas-worthy coach, or was it Mario Chalmers? So he's like, I would like my dad. I'm guessing if Will was better, Will's dad could have been the O-line coach at Hockenson.
You create a spot for him.
Yeah. You know.
He can help us out a little bit.
Create some room.
You know?
Is he still there?
Who?
Chalmers' dad.
Oh, my God, no.
Exactly.
Are you kidding?
My guess is he left shortly after Mario.
Right after he brought him a title.
Thanks for coming.
With his son.
Slap you on the back and get on out of there.
Okay, now I promise we're done with
Are we really done with the Knipples?
We're done. But I mean, those names are pretty cool, dude.
What was the name one more time? It was the...
Okay, so you have Cager.
Cager.
K-A-G-E-R.
Jeebus, Cager.
Is that right? Wait.
Good old Cage.
Yeah, Cager. K-A-G-E-R.
With a K, though.
Yeah. Kinston.
Yeah.
Cash with a K. K-A-S-H. And Kid. And I can tell you right now, I already love Kid. Because you know he's the youngest, and he gets his ass picked on all the time.
Yeah.
I bet you that boy is tough as hell.
Probably. And you know what? He's a coach's son.
Gym rat.
Yeah, you know,
baller.
Smart kid, tough kid. Not a lick of athleticism, but plays the right way.
Won't take S from no one.
Slapping the floor. It would be something, though, because if you saw those kids go up to, like, play together, you would laugh, and then they would you know that entire family's balling. Like, they play the family reunion barbecue game, and they beat every family. They just trash them.
Now it all makes sense why Con Knipple is at Duke.
Yeah. It all fits. It all fits.
And as the text says,
a pipeline of knipples.
These guys are all one middle initial away from a PR nightmare.
Is it worse that they went to Duke or better?
I think it's worse.
I think that makes it worse.
It makes it worse.
Yeah.
Well, we know where the white power rankings are. We know where the white power rankings are.
Good
and they all come from northern Wisconsin. No racism there.
Cooper from Maine. I mean, yeah. It's kind of all coming together. All right, let's get to, forget last night, okay?
We moved on?
That was a long time ago.
We're living in the here and now.
Well, there's one Shams thing I thought was funny that he said this morning, and then we'll get to the underboob. Okay, we're going to talk some baseball with you guys.
Let's do it.
That's next hour on The Fan.